This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I'm Steve Scheer. The Chinese legislature has approved new restrictions on polluters. It's one of the biggest changes to its environmental policies in 25 years. Extremely high levels of pollution are prompting the action, but there are implications for China's greenhouse gas reduction policies as well. The energy sector is the largest greenhouse gas contributor globally. For its demanding energy needs, China burns a lot of coal. Mike Herberg studies energy policy for the Seattle-based National Bureau of Research and the University of California. He says that rising anger over pollution in China is driving changes in the country's energy policies.
Air pollution in China is a forcing event because the risk is that air pollution has become so serious that the party leadership has to begin to worry about it as a source of social unrest. And so therefore, they are beginning to really react to. And 70% of the air pollution in Beijing comes from coal. Increasingly, the other 30% comes from big diesel trucks and vehicle traffic that's growing in Beijing and the big cities at astronomical rates. But, you know, the air pollution problem is visible. It's visceral. They're already getting huge pushback from their population on it. So they have to react to that. And that means getting to natural gas, it means getting these other things, and it means reducing the coal curve. Well, what you see in Asia is this enormous continuing economic growth, and that economic growth has been driving this huge increase in energy consumption across the region. Asia, last 20 years, has accounted for two-thirds of the total global energy consumption growth, two-thirds of the increase in oil demand. And as you go out forward, it's going to be pretty similar. Three-quarters of energy consumption growth is going to come out of Asia. Close to half of the global energy growth will be China alone. Economic growth, rising incomes, urbanization, that's just inevitably going to drive a huge consumption growth for energy. And unfortunately, if you look 10 and 20 years out, that's very likely to mean a significant rise in use of coal, the most CO2-intensive fuel. And it's very difficult to find a way around that.
Mike Herberg is research director for NBR's Energy Security Program. And among his positions for ARCO over the last 20 years, he was director of portfolio risk management and director for emerging markets. China has set targets for reducing its coal consumption over the next 35, 40 years. How realistic are they?
I think in a 20-year horizon, those targets aren't necessarily unrealistic. I think in a 15 to 20-year span, China has the chance, if they continue to push forward with the efforts that they're making now to slow the rate of energy consumption and coal consumption and CO2 emissions, that in 15 or 20 years they might be able to stabilize that carbon emission profile.
Stabilize it, but still in a growth curve?
It would essentially flatten out and in theory over time begin to come over. And I think there's been studies by Lawrence Berkeley Lab, which has a terrific China energy group that works closely with the Chinese government, has very sensible forecasts that suggest that's possible.
Is that because they're going to be involved in technological innovation that we haven't yet really seen yet, clean capture technologies and different kinds of way to burn coal and use it?
Yeah, I think one step, burning coal far more efficiently, and you can go from 30% efficiency to plus 50% efficiency by switching to currently available ultra-supercritical, what they call it. So when you use coal, it means you get a 40% reduction in CO2 emissions per ton of coal that goes through there. They're fuel switching. China is going to account for something like 40% of the global increase in natural gas, and you're switching to a much relatively cleaner, lower CO2 fuel. China's tripling natural gas consumption in the space of 10 years from 2010 to 2020. Just enormous a shift.
Where are they getting their natural gas from?
A lot of it domestically, but they're going to be importing large amounts, already are, from Turkmenistan and Central Asia. They've built a pipeline coming up from Burma to bring natural gas. They've been negotiating with the Russians to bring it in from the north for 15 years. My bet is after Ukraine, and I've been one of those saying it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. I think with the Ukraine situation, we're going to see a deal very quickly between those because Russia needs that Asian market now.
China's pursuing an wind and solar or renewables policy, but is it just a small wedge of its energy portfolio?
Yeah, the key problem is that overall energy consumption is rising at a rate that even if they build 40% of the world's growth in nuclear capacity, 40% of the renewable capacity, 40% of the increase in natural gas, hydroelectric, they're building equivalent of the Three Gorges 20-gigawatt dam every 12 months. Even if they do all that, given the current energy trajectory, they're going to have to use more coal. They will have to double their coal consumption over the next 15 years. So it's that demand curve for energy that's the challenge, is to bend that down so that all these other sources coming in pushes that coal curve down and flattens out as soon as possible.
Yeah, and how realistic do you think that is?
You can flatten that coal curve out, say 20 or so, 2030, in that range. I think that's where they're forecasting.
You can. Will we?
I think we will.
But that means they have to have other technologies. As somebody said to me earlier today that, look, the equivalent solar is 4 times the cost of a coal plant. But is that given all the externalities, pollution from the coal? I mean, is all that included or does it even matter?
Unfortunately, the default fuel is coal because it's the cheapest. And in China, they've got lots of it. So they don't have to worry about importing it from somewhere, although they're beginning to actually import coal because they're using so much. So I think coal is the cheapest. But there is a very strong and growing policy push that they need to tackle the coal problem. And it's not CO2 driven so much as this real visible. And that's why I'm confident something's really going to happen, because this is something that really potentially threatens the legitimacy of the Communist Party leadership. So that's what keeps them awake at night. So I think that'll have much more driving effect than CO2. But when you reduce pollution, the things you have to do, move away from coal, move to cleaner fuels, renewables, you're going to get a very similar bang for your buck on CO2.
Mike Herberg studies energy policy for the Seattle-based National Bureau of Research and the University of California. China has passed new legislation that may bring somewhat cleaner air to that smog-choked nation and also reduce its high greenhouse gas emissions, a major cause of climate disruption around the globe. This is The Record.